Hello, this is Tony Heller from RealClimateScience.com, setting the record straight about climate. In this video, I'm going to discuss some of the ways which the press creates fake climate news. One of the more common techniques is to simply create completely fake stories, like this fake satellite imagery which got propagated all over the internet. Later, the press will often issue a retraction, but very few people ever see that. Winston Churchill said, "A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has time to get its pants on." The reality is that only a very small percentage of Australia is on fire, and the vast majority of these fires were lit by people. But once the big lie gets out there, the damage is done. A couple days ago, Piers Morgan interviewed Australian MP Craig Kelly and told him, "Virtually your entire country is eviscerated by fires." So the big lie is a very effective technique for climate propagandists. Another favorite approach of climate propagandists is to take factual data but put it completely out of context. Like this article from August 5th, 2019, Alaska's sea ice has completely melted away. The most rapidly changing state in the U.S. has no sea ice within 150 miles of its shores, according to high-resolution sea ice analysis from the National Weather Service. This claim is factually correct, but Alaska is ice-free almost every summer. This is an Arctic sea ice map from August 5, 2019, the date of the article. You can see that there's a gap between Alaska's coast and the edge of the ice. And this is an Arctic sea ice map from National Geographic dated 1971. Once again, you can see that there's a wide gap between the Alaska coast and the edge of the sea ice, just like in the 2019 map. In this image, I've overlaid the 2019 ice in red on top of the 1971 National Geographic map. You can see that on the Alaska side in 2019, the ice was further away from the shore. But on the other side, towards Svalbard, there was more ice than there was in 1971. What happened this year is that early in May, unusual winds pushed the ice away from the Alaskan coast and then pushed it over towards the Svalbard side. So there was a deficiency of ice on the Alaska side and more ice than there has been in recent years on the other side of the Arctic. This year there's lots of ice around Svalbard, but in the year 1922 there was no ice around Svalbard all winter. So the press focused their attention on the Alaska side where there was a deficiency of ice and failed to even discuss the Svalbard side where there's more ice now than there was 100 years ago. 6,000 years ago, when Stonehenge was built, the Arctic was ice-free. Carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere were well below 300 parts per million at the time. This graph from the 1990 IPCC report shows that temperatures 6,000 years ago were much warmer than they are at present. These warm temperatures occurred despite the fact that CO2 levels were very low in the atmosphere at the time. And the same thing was true 1,000 years ago during the medieval warm period. CO2 levels were very low, but the Arctic was rapidly melting and temperatures were much warmer than they are now. For a long time, Earth was in a little ice age, but starting about 150 years ago, Earth began to warm back up again. This caused glaciers to start melting very rapidly. The Jakobshavn Glacier in Greenland retreated about 10 kilometers between 1851 and 1883, this despite the fact that atmospheric CO2 levels were very low. Currently, the Jakobshavn Glacier is actually growing again, this despite the fact that atmospheric CO2 levels are much higher now than they were in 1851. The historical record provides zero evidence that carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere drive the amount of ice in the Arctic. But taking information out of context is another way which climate alarmists propagate their big lie. Another favorite technique of climate alarmists is to keep pushing the date of the apocalypse back. This article was on CNN today. The signs at Glacier National Park warning that its signature glaciers would be gone by 2020 are being changed. They were added more than a decade ago to reflect climate change forecasts at the time by the U.S. Geologic Survey, a park spokeswoman says. In 2017, the park was told by the United States Geologic Survey that the complete melting off of the glaciers was no longer expected to take place so quickly due to changes in the forecast model. But the glacier warning isn't being removed entirely. Instead, the new signs will say, When they will completely disappear depends on how and when we act. One thing is consistent, the glaciers in the park are shrinking. So the model has changed, and it's up to human beings to act to stop the melting of the glaciers. But reality tells a completely different story. In 1923, scientists predicted that the glaciers would be gone in 25 years. That would have been by 1948. And in 1936, the same United States Geological Survey predicted that the glaciers would be gone in 25 years. That means the glaciers should have been gone in 1961. The glaciers were still there in 1952, and experts pushed their forecast back 50 years. So now they should have been gone in the year 2002. They were still there in 2002, so National Geographic predicted they would be gone by 2020, this year. And in 2014, the New York Times pushed the date back to the year 2044. That's almost a century after the original forecast. Reality is that Montana has been very cold the last couple of years, and the glaciers are probably actually growing. Last year, Montana was nearly 5 degrees below normal around Glacier National Park. Let's look now at the actual history of Glacier National Park. The history of glaciation within current Glacier National Park boundaries spans centuries of glacial growth and recession, carving the features we see today. Glaciers were present within current Glacier National Park boundaries as early as 7,000 years ago, but may have survived an early Holocene warm period, making them much older. These modest glaciers varied in size, tracking climatic changes, but did not grow to their Holocene maximum size until the end of the Little Ice Age around AD 1850. While they may not have formed in their entirety during the Little Ice Age, their maximum perimeters can be documented through mapping of lateral and terminal moraines. Translating this into English, what they're saying is that the glaciers were either very small or non-existent 7,000 years ago, and they're also very small or non-existent prior to the Little Ice Age around the year 1400. During this entire period, atmospheric CO2 levels hardly changed, indicating that the growth and recession of glaciers in Glacier National Park has nothing to do with atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. This is what Glacier National Park looks like today. It's extremely cold there, and the trees are disappearing underneath the snow. The forecast for the next few weeks is extremely cold in Montana, temperatures below 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Climate alarmists have been wrong over and over again about Glacier National Park. Nature is not cooperating with their scam. The glaciers were supposed to be gone in 2020, but that's not the only thing that was supposed to have happened in 2020. According to The Guardian, Britain was supposed to have a Siberian climate by now. There was going to be nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting across the world. 2020 was supposed to be the deadline to avert climate catastrophe, but climate alarmists will keep pushing the date back for as long as they can get away with it. It's up to all of us to make sure that these journalists are called out on their constant stream of climate disinformation. Visit Toto on the web at realclimatescience.com. He's been pulling back the curtain on junk science and propaganda for a long time.